Today's daf is daf Zayin. And you remember that the last thing that we learned was the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael as to how we define Meitav. So we went through a number of different permutations, and we ended up coming out that the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael is benogea, the question of whether Meitav is defined by the Meitav of the Mazik's field, or Meitav is defined by the Meitav in the Nizik's field. And it turned out that according to Rabbi Shmuel, we go with the Xerishava of Sadehu Sadehu, and even though the Pashtas of the meaning of the Posik is the Hechta Kamishalem, which means that it's the Mazik's Meitav, nonetheless, there's certain cases where that wouldn't apply. So it's if we're talking about a case where we have a direct correlation of the Nizik's Idis, with the Mazik's, let's say, Ziburit, Sudanis. So then in a chinami, we would say that it's possible to pay back with the going according to the Nizik. Mashenkin, if we don't have an accurate correlation, we have a choice of either paying for something that's lesser or something that's more, so then in a chinami, that's how we came out. The last thing that we learned was the question of what Rabbi Akiva means with Kavachemer Lehekdesh. We also went through a number of different shatim because we were very concerned how we could have a kavachomer lehegdish if the hegdish you don't pay at all, since hegdish says re'ev, and the hegdish not being re'ev, there would be no chiyuv of tashlumi. So we came out that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya says that on the contrary, re'ev tells me that hegdish indeed is potter for anybody else, but that the limitations of chatzi nezek and atam do not apply when a hedit was mazik hegdesh, and in that case you would pay back nezek shalem. Therefore, tainas Rabbi Akiva, if so, you have a kal v'chomer. If to a hedit you're going to pay from hidi, kol shekein to hegdesh you're going to pay mi'idit. That's the last thing that we learned. We have to review that because we haven't yet finished the Gemara's analysis of the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. So today we're holding now on daf zayin, and we got up to the words i-hachi, about a third of the way down. So ask the Gemara today, i-hachi, Rabbi Yishmael or Rabbi Akiva, mimai to be either the nizik v'ziburit the mazik pligin. I mean, I understand we came out because we had no alternative, but to explain it, the machlokas, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, was how to define the idit, but it goes according to the nizik or it goes according to the mazik. But maybe that's not the machlokas. Now that we see that Rabbi Akiva is paskening like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, maybe that's the whole machloket. Dilma de kulei alma bit of nizik shemina. Maybe we were wrong in saying that Rabbi Akiva disagrees and he holds we always go according to the mazik. He's also moda that we go according to the nizik in exactly the same circumstances as Rabbi Yishmael. And the only machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael is goof at this one point in the question of whether we would say kavachomer lehegdesh. So maybe it should be that Rabbi Akiva sova Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Therefore, he says kavachomer lehegdesh that shemeshalim mina idit, and Rabbi Yishmael sova kerabona. And therefore, you cannot say kavachomer lehegdesh because, on the contrary, by hegdesh you don't pay at all. And maybe that's the entire meaning of the machlokas. Are those words the kavachomer lehegdesh? Rabbi Akiva was never coming to be chelik on the statement of Rabbi Yishmael that said that we're going to look into the payment aliba the idis of the maz of the nizik. I agree with you, but I hold it's only a hadith. Says Rabbi Akiva, no, kavachomer lehegdesh. Maybe that's all. Well, in any event, remember that the language of the machloket left us very unclear as to what particularly they were arguing. I mean, we thought initially they were arguing at something entirely different because Rabbi Akiva's statement was very misleading. Lo ba katuv ela likvot. I mean, Rabbi Yishmael was also talking about likvot the way we ended up understanding. So maybe it means that there was no machloket at all in that issue, says the Gemara Nahana. The language doesn't support that at all. Because in Cain, my lo ba hakatuv ela. We weren't discussing the pasuk. In this version, we're discussing another pasuk entirely, re'ehu. We're not talking about the pasuk of Idis. So what's Rabbi Akiva now making reference to the pasuk of lo ba hakatuv ela? We weren't talking about that. Rabbi Akiva wasn't, Rabbi Shmuel wasn't talking about it. Rabbi Akiva shouldn't be talking about it. So clearly they're arguing about goof for the meaning in the pasuk of Edith, not the application of that pasuk to the din of Re'eu. Absolutely not. Furthermore, what do you mean kavachomer lehegdesh? How's it a kavachomer lehegdesh? The way you were learning originally is that You were saying, I'm going to interpret this verse to be a chumrah. What's the chumrah? You have to give the best of your own. That's the case. Now Rabbi Akiva is saying, actually, I agree with you, Rabbi Yishmael. You don't have to give the best of your own. You give the best limited by what the Nizik's best is. And therefore, that if for a hedik, you don't have to pay the maximum of either. Koshkin lahegish, you don't have to pay the maximum. That's backwards. Hedish is better, no? This is how Rashi understands the Gemara's current question. Tosfos doesn't like that for a very simple reason. If they're arguing as to whether you pay Hegdish at all, and that's the Machloket, then obviously, if you say Kavachomel Hegdish, it's Kavachomel Hegdish that you're paying. A Kavachomel Hegdish that I'm paying only the lesser Yidid. Why would we be talking about that? It would still make sense to say Kavachomel Hegdish. You see? I notice because what Rashi is doing is he's sort of taking the original assumption that the Machlokes is legabe, whether it's either to Mazik or either to Nizik. He's saying, how can you say Kavachomel Hegdish? But we're no longer discussing that issue, says Tosfos. We're now all agreed that what we're talking about is the idiot of the Nizek, which is a lower, what's the difference if it's lower or higher? But the Kavachomer that they're arguing over here is basically whether you pay or not. So therefore, the Ri says, the problem with Kavachomer Lehegde is that the Kavachomer is irrelevant. Either we're learning the Pasuk of Rei Eyu to mean that it's a miut of Tashlumin Lehegde, or we're learning the Rei Eyu to tell me that it's a miut of the Dinam of Tam as they apply to Hegde. But Kavachomer is completely irrelevant. We're arguing about the meaning of Rayenu. What are we bringing in Kavachomer for? That's not the discussion at all. So that's the second issue. Why do we say Kavachomer Lehegdish? Furthermore, don't try to find an alternative explanation, because it happens to be that the explanation that we came out with in the end actually appears in a bright of the Beferush, that they're arguing specifically about whether Idit is defined by the Nizek's Idit or by the Mazik's Idit, because we find Fahod, Omer Avashi, Tanya Mahadye says openly in the Braita, Meitav Sedeu Meitav Kamo Yishalem, Meitav Sedeu Shal Nizak, U Meitav Kamo Shal Nizak. Tiv Rebbe Yishmo, Rebbe Akiva Omer, Meitav Sedeu Shal Mazik, U Meitav Kamo Shal Mazik. Okay. So now we have clearly defined Machlok Rebbe Akiva Rebbe Yishmo. We understand that according to Rebbe Yishmo, there's two dinim in Meitav, depending on the particular circumstances of the relative value of the idit. I shouldn't say value, the relative quality of the idit of the nizik to the mazik, and that according to Rabbi Akiva, there's only one explanation of the meaning of idit. It always goes according to the idit of the mazik. However, the Gemara does not yet know what we've been assuming all along, which is that metav is a halacha that kicks in only when you're trying to pay with property. And therefore, we end up having a very troubling contradiction, which is exactly what Abaya now asks Rava. From which we derive that the din is limited to paying the best quality. You cannot choose anything less than the best. But the problem is that we learn in a braita, and this din of Yashiv, it's true it appears in the din of Bor, but we learn out all these avos from one another. So it says there, Baal Habor, listen to this pasuk, it's a strange pasuk. Baal Habor Yishalem. Now, doesn't the word Yishalei to you mean you take money and you pay? So then the next words are completely meaningless. Kesev Yashiv Lebala. Well, obviously he's going to pay. And he's going to give money to the guy who was damaged. So what's this Yashiv? What's it adding? Kesev Yashiv Lebala. It's coming to tell me that as long as there's a Yashiv, Lerabot Shavet Kesev, whatever is worth money, even pork bellies. Afilu Subin. It could be actually chaff. Now, what's that going to be worth? Somebody's going to use it for processing drill bits. You know, great. What's he going to pay for 3 tons of chaff? 10 cents. Oh, what's the difference? Whatever it's worth. Let him get rid of it. You can always go on eBay and sell it. So therefore, we have a contradiction. If you're telling me subin, that subin is the exact opposite of the word metav. Now, which way is it? Is it the best or is it the worst? So after you lose subin, how do you explain that? Well, said Rav Lokash, kan midato, kan baal korcho. It depends. If the guy is cooperative and he's coming to pay, so then he can pay with whatever he wants and he can give you even subin. But if the guy's not cooperative and we have to drag him to court, and now the court's going to go and collect from him, the court's going to take the best. And that's what it means. Meitav in the event that it will be Yishalem. Omer the Breda Revila, yeah, you know. I like the way that fits into the Pasuk also, the economy. Dichtiv. Over here it says, Kesev Yashiv, which implies voluntarily. he shall repay money. Shava kesef ke kesef afilu subin. Vashenket, over there it says, metav sadeo yishalem. He's going to pay. So that means baal korcho. I don't get that grammar, excuse me. If it had said yishulam, will be paid, then I understand. That's like the way the army talks. You know, it will be paid. You know, we're not going to talk to you about it. It's going to happen. So it doesn't say that, however. Miktiv yishulam, it says yishalem. Yishalem is the same thing as yashiv. It's the same construct. I don't understand why yashiv means voluntarily and why yishalem means in court. So it says yishalem, which also means bidat tov mashma. Why are you convinced that yashiv is a kinder, gentler returning than yishalem is? Elam rabaya, look. There's only one way to understand this, and it sure isn't with the difference of whether a guy is cooperative. I'll show you what it means, but in order for me to show you what it means, we need to look further afield to try to understand what the nature of evaluation is. Because when we're talking about property, we know that there's ups and downs in the real estate markets. And the question is, how exactly do we come to define a particular value for a field at a particular moment? Because, look, if I'm interested in a fast sell, I'm going to lower my price a little. There's going to be some variations around the actual value that the real estate market as a whole has, correct? So now, I'll show you where this is very nogea. It's nogea, the din of liquidity. Where is the halacha of liquidity when it comes to taking from tzedakah? Can you take from maaser ani? A guy says, look, it's true I have millions of dollars in the stock market, but it's a horrible time to sell. You know, just last week it was worth double. If I sell today, I'm going to basically be losing my money. He's saying the same thing now about the property market. He's saying, look, things right now are very, very bad. If I have to translate my holdings into money right now, I'm going to suffer. If, however, you allow me to take charity, because I don't have any money, I don't have any cash, so I'm cash poor, let me take charity, and then you'll be saving me. I'll be a rich man, but it's going to take some time. Obviously, that question comes into play here as well. If you're talking about the tashlumim of Meitav, so exactly how do we define the value of that Meitav? Since Meitav is basically a measure of liquidity, not a measure of money, it's a measure of quality that translates into liquidity. Therefore, says Abaya, let's take a look at the dinim of liquidity, and then I'll show you how to apply it over here. This is a brilliant ploy on the part of Abaya. It's a shame it doesn't work, but let's take a look at it at the beginning. Okay. This guy owns a lot of real estate. But the problem is that eino motzei lemochran. He does not find any buyers. Now, it's a strange statement. You can always find a buyer. I mean, just keep dropping your price. Okay, but he doesn't find a buyer, it says over here. So in that case, ma'achilino to ma'aser ani ad mechza. What you do is you allow him to take ma'aser ani, and you can continue to give him the money up to half the value of the property that he has. Okay, so now the given amount of money that you need to have available for yourself, not to be considered an ani, is 200 zuz. This person at this time, and the din is, if you have 199 zuz, and now somebody gives you a gift of maaser ani of $10 million, you can take it. Because right now you're an ani. You don't take just enough to bring you back up to this year. But if you've got 200 zuz, you're not now in the set of anim, and therefore you don't take anything. So this guy does not currently find a buyer for his money. He's got a lot of things that are worth 200 zuz, but he can't sell it. So what we do is we give him half of his value. So in other words, we'll give him 100 zuz, let's say if he has the 200, and we'll force him to pay from his own property and to accept a loss of 50% on the value of the property that would bring him up to 200. So this is a unique situation. He's neither poor nor rich. If he were poor, we could give him $1 million. If he were rich, we could give him anything. But what we're going to do is we're going to make up, we're going to guarantee 50% of the value of his property from charity. Of course, value of the property up to 200 zuz, which would then make him an ashir and no longer able to take charity. A unique situation. Fine. But what we asked over there, and Abaye is saying, it's only way Rabba, Mar, explain this brighter. Mahaviba Mar, Rabba asked over there, well, what is that supposed to mean? He doesn't find a buyer. I don't understand. If the value of the real estate market has declined precipitously, in general. So what is it supposed to mean when we say, theoretically, the guy's got 200 zuz, if there are no buyers. If there's no buyers, you don't have 200 zuz. So then we're going to look at the current value. It's all very nice that you're dreaming of 200 zuz, but realistically, nobody's making 200 zuz. The fact that you're saying, well, I could hold on to it, yeah, and maybe it'll go down to 10 zuz. So obviously it should go according to current market value. So then if that's the case, let's give him anything because he's no longer an usher. He now does not have 200 zuz. So that can't be the case. Because the market dropped. Ella, the only case that this makes sense in, says Rava, is what? Are we talking about that actually everybody else's property is just as expensive as it always was, but this guy is an idiot because he's gone to 50 real estate agents and he's made it known that he's desperate for money. And now everybody figures, well, that's nice. Let's give him another week of desperation and he'll drop the price another 20%. So because of his own stupidity, I need the eye of enough Kazuzi, because he's let it be known, instead of dealing with things intelligently, he's let it be known that he's looking to sacrifice the property. So because of that, Zal Are, his property has dropped. Afilu pur denamilo visfile. We are not in the business of providing property insurance for idiots. What do you mean, let him kill it? Let him lose his money. No. What do you mean, I don't have liquid? You don't have liquid because you're an idiot. Sell what you got and live with what you got. Why are you coming to us? If you want to be stupid, don't be stupid on our cheshbon. So obviously in such a case, we won't provide you anything. So that can't be the case either. There's got to be an intelligent way of understanding this breakup. And Rava explained it. Here's the explanation. Lo tzrich, the only possible case is that biyomei nisan yikra arata, or biyomei tishrei zil arata. We're talking about seasonal variation. Now, seasonal variations are very common and very understandable. If you're buying, for instance, a home, we know that the prices of homes go up during the period where people are looking for relocation. They have to get settled in time to get the kids into schools and so on and so forth. You're talking about a field. We know that the price, the value of a field will spike at a time when a guy's going to be getting in an additional year of planting. So it's early enough in the year, it's decent time, it's early enough for him to prepare the property for planting for winter wheat. Okay, so fine, he's willing to pay a premium. Comes already the time, it's not Tishrei. Everybody's already rented a house, bought a house, and bought a field. There's no point in sitting around with dead property and paying taxes for it now. Why should I buy now? I'll wait till next season. So therefore, what we're talking about is a case where you have biyumei nisan yikra arata. During nisan, the price of property is spiking. And biyumei tishrei zil arata. Dekulei alma, now everybody who can, obviously, is going to wait to sell ad nisan. You wait until you get the high prices, and then mizavne. But this guy is now in trouble. So hi, holovitz trichle zuse. This guy needs now liquidity. So he's coming to us, and he's saying, look, if I hold on to this property, the norm is it's going to spike in Tishrei. I'm going to be losing a tremendous amount of money if I have to sell now. I need your temporary support in order to make certain that I don't become a poor man and have to sell right now and lose a lot of money on my property. So there the din is that since the maximum difference between the spike and the current value is 50%, never goes beyond 50%, we're willing to support you up to 50% to prevent your loss. And that's all that it's saying over here. So since the din is at palga urchila meza, it can lose 50% of its value, but tve lav urchila meza, more than that is not because of a spike problem. It's not seasonal. If it went down more than that, don't try to tell me it's seasonal. It means that you got another problem. And basically, the market is dropping. We're not going to go and support you in a dropping market. I mean, then that becomes the value, of course. So therefore, that's the case over there. Now it says a buyer. That's how Rav explained the case. Now I want to translate that into an explanation of the contradiction of Metav versus Yashiv, including Subi. How am I going to do that? I'm going to show you that there are two ways of estimating the value of property, even though it's the same quality. That there's such a thing as seasonal variation that needs to be included in the dinim of Tashlumi. That's the point. And the application to Nezikin is as follows. But first, a word from our sponsor. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaro.
Amen.
So, yes. So here's what I say, says Abaye. Hokanami gabi Nezikin. The din is that the guy has a right to collect idit. So din be idit. So now, if he wants to collect, the guy can't tell him, well, wait a minute, I mean, you know, just another 6 months, give me another 6 months, and then I can give you less property. That's not going to wash, because why do I have to wait 6 months? You give me the property the way it's worth now, obviously. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
However, Yashif comes to tell me that there is a case in which, in fact, the guy may have to accept lousy value based on the ultimate spike, and therefore he's only going to get a half of the amount of property because the guy says, well, if you're willing to wait 6 months, you want the money now. I'll give you the property now according to the value that it will have when it goes up in Nisa. How is that fair? I'll tell you, says Abaya. What it's talking about is like this. The guy comes to him and he says, listen, you own a couple of different fields. Your best field, I'm going to do you a big favor. I'm not going to take your best field, even though I have a right to take the best field. Because it happens to be that your Beinonit field is right up against the border of my field in Lawson County on the other side. So I'd actually prefer that field because I can just take my tractor right over the line. It'll have to go and drive up to your Edict field. So I'm going to take that Beinonit field. How do you like that? Guy says, I like it, but with one caveat. If you want my Beinonit field, and it's no longer up to me, then I'm going to make a deal. I'll give you the Beinonit field, but according to the value that it's going to be worth in Nisa. So the guy says, well, wait a minute. I mean, I had a right even to eat it. I'm doing you a favor. Ah, the Torah says, Yashiv. So if you're going to collect the idiot, fine, then I give you meitav, and I'll have to give it to you now. But if you have some kind of constraint that ask me for something else, I'm no longer limited by meitav. Now I can give you suvin in the sense of valuing ki yukra de lekabein. And that's what the meaning of the pasuk is, and therefore we don't have a contradiction. You want meitav, take meitav. You don't want meitav, then suvin. Then I can tell you my conditions. This is how I'm willing to give it to you. Therefore, Yomar Le'iu, if the other guy says to him, listen, why not give me Beinonit Tveipur? Give me a little bit more land, but give it to me out of your lower quality land when I had a right to higher quality land. So then the Pusik is coming to tell me, Yomar Le'i, look, buddy, Isha Kauta Kedincha, if you're going to keep to the Meitav the way you have a right, so then fine, then Shkol Kedahashta, I have nothing to argue about because the Torah has given you a right to take my best fields. But if you're coming to me to try to strike a deal, when it comes to striking deals, I can pay you suvin. And therefore, I'm making the conditions over here. You want the Beinonit? Then Shkoki Yukat will come in. Take the value of the field as it's going to be worth, as you know perfectly well. When it comes to Nisa, you know what this field is worth. And don't try to take advantage of me unless you're willing to take what the Torah gives you. Interesting approach. Matkifla Ravacha Bar Yaakov. Ravacha Bar Yaakov attacks the basic assumption of Abaye. And he says this doesn't make any logical sense. Because im kein horata kochan shel nezikin etzo benonit v'ziburit drachmon amar mi meitav v'at amrit mi benonit v'ziburit amilon. I don't think this doesn't make any sense. What you're learning is that somehow or other meitav is a unique situation, and that the only liens I have against you is to collect from meitav. Now, does that make sense? Meitav is the best. The best subsumes the worst. The best subsumes the medium. It's not like a closed circuit over here in which it makes sense to say, well, I only gave you rights to the best. I didn't give you rights to anything but the best. I mean, it's simply irrational. And therefore, what you're saying is, not only don't you have a right to collect, you don't have a right to collect even from Ziburis, from Beinonis. No. Then the guy makes any deal that he wants. He's got you over a rack. How do you have him over a rack? The Torah says Meitav. He certainly doesn't have him over a rack. So therefore, he cannot tell him, Shkok Yukra Kameh.
I'm saying that Meitav should mean all advantages?
Mm-hmm. It can't mean less in terms of Beinonit and Ziburit. Elam Ravacha Bar Yaakov. Therefore, it says Ravacha Bar Yaakov, look, this business, I mean, your attempt to compare the situation of liquidity and sensible variation, Blagabe, the din of Meiser, to the din of the Zikin, is a failure. Forget it. If you want to compare it, there is something to compare it to. But you certainly can't compare it to Nezikin, where the whole point of Meitav is that it's giving you the power of ultimate collection. Then it's irrational. There are other cases you could compare it to. I'll tell you. Iikla Tibuya, you want to compare it to something? Compare it to the payment of a Balchov, okay? A Balchov is allowed to collect from Beinonit. But that's not an advantage to him, actually. That's just, actually, Midioraita, we would have him collect from Ziburit. Because he doesn't have any built-in right of collection. The halacha is that when it comes to a balchov, Beit Din made a takona. Rabbanan made a takona. And these takonas we often make, we've seen them before, that in order to ensure the capital market, we want to make sure that people are ready to make loans, because otherwise capital is going to dry up. to get people to make loans, we made a number of takanas that make it easier to recoup loans. One of those takanas is that if you're going to collect from the guy's property, even though theoretically you may be limited to ziburit, which is the lowest quality property, we are going to give you the additional right of beinanit. Okay. Now, in that case, you can't say that beinanit represents hatzi, tatzi, ultimate values. That you can't say. So there, in that case, I would accept a comparison, says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that a balchov, whose din is bebeinanit, and if the balchov says, look, I don't want the beinanit, I prefer your worst quality because it's up against my property on the other side. So I want you to give me a lower property. Now there I accept that the din of beinanit did not mean all of the middle rights to collection. It was a specific takana that gave you beinanit. So there it makes sense to say that indeed there would be a dual level of collection. We're giving you the ability to collect beinanit because you were a good guy and you put your money out there and you had venture capital that we like. But, I mean, now you want to take advantage of the situation to get things precisely the way you like it because of the incidentals. The incidentals, it happens to be that you have a field on the other side. I mean, that's certainly nothing that the market's going to take into consideration. What's the chances that you have a field on the other side when you want to get back your loan? That's ridiculous. So therefore, I agree, there will not give you specific rates of collection. And in that case, enochinami, the guy can say to you, look, either I'm going to tell you what I'm giving you, or you're going to take it to Yukrinil Kabe. And there I accept that type of valuation. Okay. That's what I say. To which Rav Acha Bereda Rav Ika says, no, that doesn't make sense either. I'll tell you why. Because you're not looking at the bottom line, okay? There's always a bottom line. And the bottom line is that since the takana was to make sure about capital markets, you got to look at the capital market. You're right. The capital market couldn't care less about one guy that happens to have a field in a strange location. But what the capital market does care about is a situation like this. A guy made a loan, and he needed cash. And he wanted to buy a field. What do I care why he wanted to buy a field? It happens to be, in this case, he wanted to buy a field next to a current field of his, right? To him, that's worth a lot of money. He doesn't have the cash. You know why he doesn't have the cash? Because he was a good man, and he made a loan. So because this idiot was a good man and made a loan, no good deed goes unrequited. And because of that, he's not going to be able to buy that field. Oh, no. Now he's only going to be able to buy 80% of that field because he can only buy Kiyukin or Kameh. You know what kind of impression that makes on the internet? Let me tell you. So for now on, when a guy wants to make a loan, he's going to think to himself, and if I need that money? And therefore, it's included in the Takada Beinanit itself that you have no right to do shtick like this and say, Shkok Kiyukin or Kameh. Because that itself is the most basic violation of the capital market psychology. And therefore, it's certainly included in the dinim of beinanit. Let's say that inside. Matkiv Rav Acha bar Vika. That's why this is an attack. A matkiv is a hatkafa. In other words, it's saying that this is completely and totally outrageous because you're missing the whole point. Because look, in kein na'alta delet b'fnei lovim, there is no greater sealing up of capital markets. The amarle, because the guy's response will be, this is disgusting. Ilu havi lizuzi, if I would have had my own money and never gotten involved with you, so avishakli kedahashta, I could have bought a field for its current value and saved myself maybe 50%. Hashta, the zuzi gabachma, because I'm a nice guy and I gave you my money and you're not returning it to me, so now I'm going to have to pay double. And eshko kiyukadil kameh, I'm only going to be able to get the value of the tishrei value, the nisan value instead of the tishrei value. Forget it. So that doesn't work either. Elam Rav Acha b'Reda Ravika. Look, a biased thinking was good. Application, no good. Rav Acha bar Yaakov's thinking, no good. But there is a case that we can apply this to. And not that any of this is relevant, by the way, to us, you know. I mean, it's just we got caught up in this. We don't have any answer now for Meitav. Forget about it. The contradiction now stands. Meitav, Subin, we don't have a clue. It's just that once a buyer brought up this interesting phenomena of seasonal variations are taken into account in payment, we're trying to see whether, in fact, it has a broader application. But all of this is completely tangential to our issue, which we're going to have to get back to. So please, although you have popped down into this, remember we soon have to pop back up. So now, Omer Rav Acha b'Reda Rav Ika, i'ika l'dmuye. If you want to compare it to anything, there is a case you can compare it to. You can compare it to a ktuvat isha. Now, ktuvat isha, when a woman is collecting on her prenuptials, over there she collects from ziburit. She doesn't have any particular rights to collection, she takes whatever property you're giving her. And the reason that we say this is because, basically, remember, in the context of marriage, people don't expect the ultimate. They're happy to get married. And, okay, you got a prenuptial agreement, which is built into every Jewish marriage. And, you know, Shiloh, whether I'll get Zibur, it's Bainanus, is not going to really make a difference in terms of the market for marriage. So now, I Amra Le, suppose she says, I'll tell you what, Havli Bainanit Batsir Purta, I need the Bainanit, obviously I'll take less, I'll make a deal with you. Amar Le, he says, no, Isha Kalkedine, you know what, if you take what I want to give you, then you take by its current value. If you want to make a deal, then I'm going to set the terms. V'ilo Shiklik Yukril Kame. Now that's the only place where it would make sense that we could allow for market variations. Okay, now let's pop back out into our sugya, please. Mikol makom kasha. You haven't helped even a little bit now. We've got a problem. We've got a contradiction. On the one hand, it says metav. On the other hand, it says subim. Now, how do you explain this? Oh, my Rabbi, I have an idea. If you're paying pork bellies, they got to be the best pork bellies. Maybe that's the meaning. You can pay anything, but it's got to be the best of that thing. What is this extra skin that you're wearing over those bellies? How many skins do you have? Oh, my gosh. I can't even move anymore. That's what happens going to Africa. Every time he comes, he puts on another skin. All right. So, therefore, they both make sense. You could pay the best of your property, and you pay the best of your souping. So what's wrong with that? Why does there have to be a contradiction? All that we're saying is, you could pay any type of thing that you want, but whatever that thing is, it's got to be the best of that thing.
Currency as well?
There's no best and worst in currency, perhaps. Okay. Says the Gemara, that's a cute idea, but it doesn't work. Because the Alden of Metav, if that's the case, why would it say Metav Sadeim? I mean, why isolate real estate to discuss Metav? Elaki Atar of Papa Revunabrader of Yeshua Mibi Rav Pershua. They explained it very simply. Everything is by definition Metav except real estate. That's the only way to understand the isolation of the class of real estate from Metav. Because all things that are portable can find a buyer anywhere on earth. Just get onto eBay, someone will buy it. And therefore, it's by definition Metav, because Metav is only the question of your ability to sell quickly. You can always sell quickly on eBay. Therefore, kol mi lemeitavu, de'ilo mizdavin acha, mizdavin b'mata achrit. If it's not going to sell here, it's going to sell somewhere else. The only time we can't say that is real estate. The var mi ara. So since real estate cannot sell everywhere, therefore the Torah says, leitav lemi meitav, give him your highest quality land, ki eched elikvetz ala zvina, so that he shall find a buyer rapidly and not be stuck with a piece of property instead of the money that he needs. And now we finally get to what it is that we have assumed all along. And now that we've talked about our assumptions, let's see whether we were right in making them. You're talking about Metav as if it's entirely relative. But how do you know that? Is it possible that Metav is an objective definition? Forget about what the Mazik has and what the Nizik has. Why don't we take all of the types of property in the world, or in this area, and divide them into high quality, middle quality, and low quality?
Objective.
Yeah, objective. So, Bishalohen Shamin, when we make this estimation, do they in fact look at the people that are involved? O Bishalohen Shamin. Or do we look at this as an objective issue? So, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel Lotibor. Obviously, when it comes to Rabbi Shmuel's approach, he says we look at the Nizik. This is an irrelevant question. I mean, he's saying we only look at the Nizik. Okay, so if that's the case, I understand. No?
He learned Darshan Mitzav Sadehu, the Koi, whatever. You shall have him.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that?
No. Because he may have a Mitzav that is metav in terms of the Nizik. He may have a metav that's metav. He may have something that is super metav that nobody else has. But let's see the case. So, Kitiboy lachalid Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, bit of mazik shaymina. So now, do we say metav sadehu means only the metav of the payer as opposed to the lower class metav of the Nizik? Or does it mean even the metav of the payer as opposed to the objective metav? So it would be even lemu'ute de alma. That's my question. So then over there, I would have to say that perhaps this guy has now, this fellow, he's got idis, and he's got idis, let's say, idis viziburis. So you're saying his ziburis may be even the lowest level of idis the alma. Remember, we've got a spread. Okay, so the upper third quality lands are all called idis. In my field, I've lowest class property is still included in the spread of the idi. So now what I want to know is, when you said metav and you were insisting, the hechta mishalem, maybe what you meant was that if he has objective idit, he can use that objective idit. Well, I have objective idit. So yeah, but it's not your very best, it's your worst. So, but it is idit. Ask any real estate agent where he's going to place this field, and he's going to place it in his top third of quality field. So just because I happen to have super idit doesn't mean I should have to make super idit. You've made like a very general kind of thing by saying top, middle, low. What's that supposed to mean? There's thousands of variations, top, middle, low. So this is what I want to know. We've got now a case in which my low is still included in the upper third, so it's still top. Now I want to know whether you said, Rabbi Akiva, you mean the absolute best of the mazik or the best of the mazik as opposed to the nizik? But certainly as long as it's edit, it's perfectly okay for me to pay with something that's edit, even though it's not my edit to be edit. That's the question. Oh, my goodness. I have difficult people here. That's the problem. After you've been through it so many times, you come along now to tell us that you figured it all out, right? That's the value of Daf Yomi, that ultimately you know what's coming. Even if you didn't learn it, you know what's coming. Oh, Dilma, Lemu'ute de Almanami. Omar Lay says now, exactly as our president says Rabamba to Shmuel Barabba. What? It says Sadeu. Meitav Sadeu. And Atamrit B'shalo. Lamein Shamin. Why would you get the idea that you have a right to objectively define it if the Torah is insisting that it's Meitav Sadeu? Well, if that's the case, I got a real problem for you. Because read this brayta. Eitven. Eino ela idit. If a guy has only idit, and he's got a lot of different claims against him, so then everybody is going to collect. He owes people for damages. He owes people for loans. He owes his wife for ketuvah. Boy, this guy's really in bad shape. And he's only got one quality of land, and it's high quality land. Obviously, they're all going to collect the idit. If he's only got beinanit, whatever the heck that means, what do you mean he only has beinanit? How can you only have beinanit? Well, anyway, he's only got beinanit, so now everybody collects from the beinanit. Now, if he only has ziburit, everybody collects from the ziburit. If he's got idit, ubeinanit, and ziburit, so then that's the rule. Nezikin collect from idit, barchov collects from beinanit, kedovat isha collects from ziburit. If he has idit, ubeinanit, what? How can you have idit, ubeinanit? I understand. If you have two quality lands, then you have idit and ziburit. I mean, unless there's some objective valuation going on over here, which you claim doesn't exist. So, if he has idit ubeinonit, so then the nezikin collect from idit, the balchov and the ketuvat isha collect from beinonit. If you have beinonit v'ziburit, so then the nezikin or balchov collect from beinonit, the ketuvat isha collects from ziburit. Because you can never go above what you have a right to collect. You're forced down a notch. If you have idit and ziburit, so the nezikin goes to idit, the balchov and the ketuvat isha goes to ziburit. Now, will you explain to me how any of this makes sense? Let's take that middle clause. You've got beinunit v'ziburit. Boy, that's nezikin u'balchov beinunit. Ketuvat isha v'ziburit. I don't understand. Yamit b'shalo eit shamin. If we look at it relative to what he's got, so then his beinunit becomes idit. So if that's the case, how can the balchov collect from his best property? He tells him, hey, you can't take my best property. The Torah only gave you rights to my middle property. So I said, but you don't have middle property. Well, then that's tough. So go to my lowest property. Go to my ziburit. Ah, so obviously he's claiming you've got objectively defined beinonit, and I'm going to collect from the objectively defined beinonit. But you said we don't look at objectively defined beinonit. So now do you have a problem, or do you not? Oh, we do. We will discuss it tomorrow. Ooh. clipping. Rabbi Akiva Savak Rabshima Mimanasya, Rabbi Shmuel Savak Rabbana. In Cain, my low Ba'akatuv, Va'od my Kavu Komala Egdish, Va'od anyway, it's a Beferish Abraita. Omer of Ashi, Tanya Be'edya, Metav Sadeu, Metav Karmo Yishalim, Metav Sadeu Shonizik, Metav Karmo Shonizik, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Metav Sadeu Shomazi, Metav Karmo Shomazi, Romele Abayalo Rabba. But Tanya Yashiv, Rabot Shavakesem, Veafil Subin, Lokasha Kamidato, Kan Balkoho, Omrul Breger, Viloy, Dekanami, Tiv Yishalem, Balkoho, Omrulay Abaya, what? Miktiv Yishulam, Yishalem, Tiv Midato, Mashma, Elom Rabaye, Kidamar, the Tanya Rishayo, but Tim Sadotu Khrami, they know what's in the Mohram, Nahimirato Maserani. Ad Merzav, Havi Bamar, Hechidami. He who's all Arata to Kulayam of the day Namizal Badayu, so then he doesn't own 200 zoos. Afilo Tuvanami, this villa, he does all, the Kulayamanami. Elo de Okerata to Kulayam, and him, the idiot, I did I have enough because Zal Aray. Don't give him a dime. Afilo Portanamilo, this villa. The Omavala, Lord Sri for the Bumanis, and Yikra Rata, the Yumetishri Zalal Arta. So the Kulayam who wants to sell, Natriad Nisan Mizavne, but this guy's in trouble. So Olovich Zirchle Zuzi is going to be forced to Zavan Kanashta. Therefore, At Palge Urchid Mezel, so we'll help him out. Tve Lav Urchil Mezel, so Akanami Gabin Ezekim. I say, it's the same idea. Dine be Edit, but Yomale Yu Havli Benani Tve Purta, Omale, well, the Torah says Afilu Sumin. So Isha Kalta Gedincha, okay, Shkoka Ashta, but Ilo, Shkoka Yukril Kame. Matki Floravacha Bar Yaakovim Kain Horata Kochan Shal Nezikin Etzol Benin Viziburin Rachmon Amar Mi Meitav, and you're saying forget about Meitav, he can't even get Benin Viziburin Nami Lo. By the way, I think that Nami makes perfectly good sense and should not be erased the way so many try to erase it, because in the Lashon the Gemara Nami translates as even.
Right,
and that's perfectly useful. Elo Amar of Achabar Yaakov I Ikalid Muye La Balchov Bidaminale Balchov Dineve Benanis Viomele Havle Zibur Tve Purta Amele Shakalta Kedincha Shkoke the Hashta. But if not, Shkoke Yukrel Kamei, because Bi Ikara then you're supposed to collect anyway Ziburit. Marke Floravach, Breder of Ika in Cain, Naalta Delet Bifne Lovin. The Omer like, well, Ilu Havili Zuzi have a Shakta Kedahashta, but Hashta, the Zuzi Gabach, now I'm going to have to take a loss because of you. Ashkok Yukir Kame, Elom Ravacha, Breder of Ika, Iikle Dmuya, the only thing is the Ktuvatisha, Medaminana. The Ktuvatisha, Dina Beziburit. So if she asks him for a deal and says, Havli Benanit, but Supporta, he says, I'll make you a deal on my terms. Ishakat Kedinech Shkok Kedahashta, Milo Shikli Yukir Kame. Anyway, getting back to our Sukha, Mikoma Gokasha, Omar Rava. Look, kol diyavle, mi meitav leitavle. Very simple. So it's both meitav and subim. No. So then why is meitav only sadeu? Elikiyatav popper vunibreder of Yeshua mi beirav, pershua, kol milit by definition is meitav. Because meitav is quality in terms of sellability. That's the whole point, isn't it? So idolom isdav en acham, isdav ma'atachrite. The only place where it makes sense to discuss meitav is real estate. Levar mi arata. So there, later, let me make of kechulik v'tzolazvina. Boim ne Reb Shmuel Barava miakrunia mi Reb Abba. Kishein shamin. B'shaloyin shamin o b'shalolam en shamin. Zalib, Reb Shmuel lo tiboy locha deomre ben nizik shaminan. Ki tiboy locha libe de Reb Yakiva deomre ben amazik shaminan. So, but what does that mean? And when the Torah says, Beitav Sadeu, Omrachman, was that only lemu'ute that he can't use the nizik's Beitav as an excuse and has to give his own Beitav? Odilma means no. He always has to give his own meitav, even if his meitav is better than the objectively defined meitav's lowest. So lemute de amanami. Omale, what's your question? Rachman omar meitav sadeu. Vat omar b'shalolam en shamin. Eitve. So then the zigan is be idit, pachov is bebeinanit, ktuvat isha is beziburit. Idit u beinanit, nizikin be idit, pachov ktuvat isha bebeinanit. Beinanit beziburit, nizikin u pachov bebeinanit, ktuvat isha beziburit. Idit beziburit, nizikin be idit, pachov ktuvat isha beziburit. Anyway. Look, katani miet metziata, beinonit beziburit, nazikin u balcho beinonit, u ktuvatisha beziburit. That makes no sense. He only bishaloe chamin, so then his beinonit is actually idit relative to himself, viyidache balcho veitzaziburit.